you're here. Delicious, sweet, knowing you're near.
Reading from Joel chapter 2, verse 12. Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, October 17th, 2022, and we opened up with that verse. In fact, we'll be talking about prayer, and it'll tie into the importance of fasting and praying and crying out before the Lord. But the Lord is a good God, and he does desire that we return to him with all of our heart. And that makes me think of that Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, you know, trust the Lord with your heart. How oftentimes Scripture is not only layered with different meaning, but many of the references in the New Testament always point back to specific Scripture. In the Old Testament, and how it's weaved together, where oftentimes it's threaded, where, yes, this is pointed out here in Genesis, but it's pointed out here later on, and it's pointed out in the Gospels or in Paul's letters.
You'd almost think the same person was behind the whole thing.
Ties it all together. Now, today we're going to be looking at chapter 6 in our favorite book, or at least one of my favorite books, Prayer, the Timeless Secret of High Impact Leaders by Dave Early. In fact, I was recommending this book. I met last Friday with two individuals that are involved with our prayer gatherings, and we had, I think, about a two-hour breakfast through methods and means and inspiration and God's leading.
That's
and prodding.
Great.
Very, very beneficial time just sharing with these two individuals. And I share that because this Thursday night we'll be gathering again.
Right.
I call it our passionate followers of Jesus.
I like that.
But people that love to pray. And what I love about it, Marianne, and we were talking about it this past Friday, just the diversity, not only different denominations and life experiences, but people coming from all different cultures, and I just love how it represents God's kingdom in its fullness. It's not a white thing, a black thing, a brown thing. You know, it's not any specific denomination. It's people that love Jesus, that want to worship God and pray together. So if that might be something that energizes you or encourages you, or maybe you've never prayed with other people outside your church or your denomination, I encourage you to come join us this Thursday night. It's the 20th at 7 p.m. at the Great News Media Center here at Marketplace Mall in Champaign. We usually begin with some announcements and then a time of worshiping God. Jean-René Balakita has led us in worship the last two times, and I trust he'll be bringing his guitar. And he just leads out with
you
many
trust
familiar...
he'll be bringing his guitar.
Yeah, I think so.
Even if he doesn't, you guys can he can still lead you in singing.
Yeah, he can use our keyboard or he has that one thing, I don't know what it's called, but it's like a xylophone, but he carries
that's
it
not
around.
It, but
yeah, it's not that. It's like these gourds or, I don't know, he beats on them and it makes all sorts of sounds.
It's beautiful.
So,
yeah, you're not making it sound really.
Yeah, he's a phenomenal worship leader.
He is.
He's really assisted in our times because we'll pray through a thought or a concept or a theme. And then he'll just transition into, oh, how I love Jesus. And then we'll sing through that. And then maybe another song. And then that'll enter into a time of some conversation.
Yeah, that's a good worship
leader. So that's this Thursday night, 7 p.m. at the Great News Media Center. Now, I do say, though, if you arrive anytime after 6:30, there's dessert. So there's dessert time and fellowship. But come 7 o'clock, I usually welcome everyone. And by 7:10 or 7:15, we're praying. So we don't talk about prayer or teach about prayer. We pray. And so we're excited to see who God raises up. It's an ever-growing group, I think representing over 30, 35 churches now.
It's amazing.
And we just see us, as, and that's what we talked about on Friday, as a catalyst of hopefully what we're doing here on the Thursday nights. It's seemingly been about every 2 weeks. will happen in other locations. And then maybe a year from now, we'll all gather together for a community-wide prayer
gathering.
Hopefully
it'll need the stadium.
Yes, hopefully it'll be a bunch of us. But right now, we just feel like we're a starter group that God is using that's bringing great diversity. And then hopefully those that come here, maybe at some point, will start their own little groups or gatherings. So I don't know. I'm excited about the topic of prayer, as you have been, Marianne. I was telling these two, I think it's been about a year and a half we've been going through this book, talking about
it
prayer.
It takes us a while. Yeah. We just need to warm people.
Hey, I'm in the line of like Dr. David Webb, where he has this agreement with the Lord that the Lord will extend his life till he preaches through all the books of the Bible. So sometimes
Where's
he'll
he
spend like 5 years in Romans or four years in this. So I think he'll live a long life.
Maybe 110, maybe he'll make it to Revelation.
Still be preaching,
so, I like that.
Prayer, you can't go wrong when you talk about it and share about it. But how much more better because of that relationship that develops as you practice prayer, as you intercede on behalf of others, as you go before the Lord with your requests. But we do this on Thursday nights, and I exhort all of you to do it before you bring to God your, if you will, your laundry list of needs and requests, which is fine, and I'm sure he delights in you bringing before him these different things that need prayer. Always begin with a time of just worshiping him for who he is. He's worthy of our worship, our praise, our adoration. And so before you bring him all the things that you want him to be active or a catalyst in to bring healing or hope or a job, first and foremost, just praise him for who he is. He's worthy of that.
Well, I have a question.
Yes.
Okay, well, I'm not trying to get us off track, because that's an extremely important subject and very important what you just said. But do you even know, I don't, what is a laundry list?
Oh, well, it's like, you know, like...
Oh, I know how we use it. No, but why is it called a laundry list?
Yeah.
Do people write down, you know, blouse, trousers? I mean, what is a laundry list?
That's true.
I've heard it so much, like, and I thought, what is that?
What
I know
is
how
a
we
laundry
use it.
Yeah, a list, it's collection
just a list of
things, but why call it
a
laundry list?
I know.
Unless when you go into the laundry,
you have to list all the different things.
Or maybe in the old days, don't forget to bring the soap and the suds and this thing and this thing, and you had to list out
maybe.
All the things.
They made their soap. We need Rob, but it's okay.
Call in today, someone, and tell us how that laundry list got known as a laundry list.
It's probably in one of those books. Have you seen those books? One's called Heavens to Betsy. And it's all these sayings and how they developed. So it's probably in there.
The laundry list.
Anyway.
Well, we began with Joel 2, verse 12. Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart. Boy, we could stop right there.
Yeah.
All of us could identify with points where maybe we've walked away or fallen away, or for whatever reason got consumed with our day, with all the activities, with the pleasures of life. Things that have maybe minimized our relationship with the Lord. Well, he's saying, return to me. And not just return to me, return to me with all your
heart.
That's
what I was thinking.
Ooh,
that last part's the one. Don't just come back. Come really back.
And then he goes on to say, with fasting and weeping and mourning.
Oh.
Now, this was the prophet Joel, and someday maybe we'll have Jason take us through this book, but the prophet Joel was used of the Lord in many different ways, but oftentimes the people strayed from God, and they really needed to fast and turn from their wicked ways and really weep and wail over the compromise they've allowed to enter into their own lives or into the lives of the people.
We could pretty much do that now, like every day or every week.
This is really appropriate for all of us.
Yeah.
But we're now in chapter 6 of our beloved book, Prayer, the Timeless Secret of High Impact Leaders by Dave Early, available at our Springfield location and right here at Marketplace Mall in Champaign. So maybe when you come on Thursday night to pray with us, you can purchase a copy. They're $10. It's an under cost price that they worked out for us to have so that you could be blessed by reading this.
All right. Shall we read?
Yes.
Okay. Chapter 6. We have made it to page 91 if you're following along.
Yes.
Titled Fast and Pray. Fasting has long played a significant role in the prayer ministry of the effective spiritual leader.
Mm-hmm.
Great leaders know what it is to feel the burden of the Lord and hear him call them away into extended seasons of fasting and prayer.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible and history are littered with examples of the power of prayer and fasting to turn the tide and make the difference. It was after 40 days of fasting that Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments and a face that radiated the glory of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Exodus 34:27-29. Samuel fasted and cried out to the Lord, and God gave Israel a thunderous, literally, victory over the Philistines. 1 Samuel 7:5-11. Jehoshaphat led his nation in fasting and prayer, and as a result, they experienced a complete deliverance and miraculous victory. 2 Chronicles 20:2-26. God promised to reverse the plight of his people if they would repent. Joel 2:12-27. That's just the one we read there.
Hmm.
In response, King Josiah proclaimed a fast. Jeremiah 36:9. Ezra called a fast, and as a result, the pilgrims were able to travel safely from Babylon to Jerusalem. Ezra 8:21-23. As a result of Esther's instructions to fast, the Jews living under Persian rule had their fortunes wonderfully reversed, as they were unexpectedly delivered and prospered. Esther 4:16-10:3.
I'm thinking all these great verses.
Yeah.
If you're reading along, or those of you, you'll want to get the book just for this chapter alone, because you could do some great Bible studies,
mm-hmm,
and gather or garner some great insights on the importance of fasting,
yeah,
and prayer.
It's pretty inspiring.
Mm-hmm.
Even the wicked city of Nineveh received deliverance when they turned to God with fasting. Jonah 3:1-10. Now that's kind of amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Other leaders, such as David, Elijah, Ezra, and Daniel, discovered the power available to those who cry out to God through fasting. They are not alone. After having fasted 40 days, Jesus resisted the devil's temptations and launched his ministry in the power of the Spirit.
Hmm.
Luke 4:1-14. Frequent fasting marked the powerful prayer life of the Apostle Paul. Acts 9:9. 2 Corinthians 6:5 and 11:27. For centuries, early church leaders fasted twice every week. I didn't know that.
Hmm.
Epiphanius, who lived around 315 to 403, who authored what could be considered the first Christian encyclopedia, asked rhetorically, "Who does not know that the fast of the 4th and 6th days of the week, oh dear,
yeah,
me, yeah, Wednesday and Friday, are observed by Christians throughout the world?" Oh my word.
Yeah, I don't
really
think I've heard anyone really talk about twice a week or the Wednesday and Friday, like as a common, "Oh, of course we all fast on Wednesday and Friday."
Wow. Augustine, 354 to 430, the seminal theologian whose views deeply etched Christian thought, had a simple yet significant opinion of fasting. Quote, "Fasting is a Christian duty."
Hmm.
End of quote. The giants towering over church history were leaders who have practiced the spiritual discipline of prayer and fasting. Martin Luther, the father of the Protestant Reformation, learned fasting during his formative years as a monk. Later, he taught that while fasting is no substitute for saving faith in Christ, it is a powerful tool for sanctification and a godly weapon in spiritual warfare.
Hmm.
John Calvin, long considered one of the most influential leaders and theologians in history, habitually fasted. He viewed fasting as a necessary aid to the earnestness and fervency of his prayers.
Yeah, read that again.
Ooh.
And I know for many, hopefully this is just some healthy conviction, and there's different ways to fast, and some people need to seek their doctor's permission or,
sure,
insight because of medical reasons or when they take their medicines and various,
yeah,
things, but it's clear throughout all of Scripture it should be a practice that you consider, entertain, that you are a part of, and
mm-hmm,
I don't know anyone that has ever gone through a fast that regrets it. I mean, there's discomfort, and there's times that you're maybe irritable or you're on edge because you're hungry and you're maybe not
sure,
used to it, and so you want to be kind of cognizant of when you're going to do it and how you're going to do it and what you're going to give up.
Yeah,
but
prepare yourself a little bit.
Any time that I've done it or practiced it, there's always been blessings, and I think part of that fruit of the Spirit, that self-control.
Yeah.
When you fast and you give up something, yeah, there's times that you really desire it and want it, but when you can push through that, there's always blessings. And then when you come out of a fast, it's like a wonderful time of growth, and you garner insights that God maybe gives you, or there's a freshness or a greater sense of discipline. That always tends to be the case for me.
I don't know if it's helpful to anyone, but one thing I've experienced in fasting is that the first hours, I feel very focused. And hour after hour, it's like insights and thoughts and prayers. Then after I've gone quite a few hours without food, I start to falter in my thinking, you know, blood sugar, whatever is. And so those next hours, those last hours, are usually a little more like, you know, you're just kind of pushing through. You are praying. And then when it's over and you eat, it's like the thoughts come rushing in. It's like you were saying, you have all these realizations and think, and I'm sure that's not true every single time for everyone, but that's an interesting way that works. So don't give up in that last quarter of your fast.
And then oftentimes that appreciation of the food, because taken water for granted or whatever you're going to eat, and suddenly there's a heightened taste or a heightened appreciation. And there's always like that period of rejoicing. And then sometimes it's like, oh, I can't wait for the next fast, because then you feel like, okay, now it's back to maybe a routine or something.
Taking things for granted.
And some will have a very intentional fast. They'll focus on maybe an area of scripture or a prodding of the Lord, and they'll pray over maybe a certain determination or a direction or a ministry work that they are considering. Yet sometimes it can just be a fast of praise, where it's just like, Lord, every time I have that hunger pain, I'm just going to praise out.
And that can get hard, but you'll get through it.
Yeah.
So did you want me to read that one part again?
Oh,
okay. I remembered. Okay. John Calvin, long considered one of the most influential leaders and theologians in history, habitually fasted. He viewed fasting as a necessary aid to the earnestness and fervency of his prayers. Other influential leaders such as John Knox, Jonathan Edwards, Charles Spurgeon, D.L. Moody, Charles Finney, Bill Bright, and Billy Graham were all practicing proponents of prayer and fasting. This next section is called A Glorious Day. History views John Wesley as an inspiring preacher, wise organizer, relentless social activist, challenging writer, historic church builder, and world-shaking reviver. That's a lot of titles that are very cool. The man rode 250,000 miles on horseback, preached 40,000 sermons, gave away 30,000 pounds. Back then, that was huge.
Yeah.
And left a legacy of 132,000 followers. He also was a strong advocate for fasting. As a young man leading the Holy Club, or Methodists of Oxford, Wesley followed the pattern of the early church and fasted 2 days a week. No, not again.
Wow.
Wednesdays and Fridays. Oh, my, I did not know this, Mark. Later in life, his Friday fast was conducted according to the Jewish, quote, day, which stretched from sundown to sundown. Therefore, from the end of each Thursday evening meal until late afternoon Friday, Wesley gave himself to fasting and prayer. As a leader, he expected all his preachers to participate in fasting. In fact, he wanted all of the Methodist leaders and people to follow this discipline. Wesley also observed fasting on other days, as situations dictated. He tells us in his Journal of National Deliverance in England in 1756 that the King of Britain called for a day of solemn prayer and fasting because of a threatened invasion by the French. Wesley wrote, "The fast day was a glorious day, such as London has scarce seen since the Restoration. Every church in the city was more than full, and a solemn seriousness sat on every face. Surely God hears prayer, and there will yet be a lengthening of our tranquility." In a footnote in his journal, Wesley later added, "Humility was turned into national rejoicing, for the threatened invasion by the French was averted." Whoa! This next section is called Biblical Fasting.
And we'll probably close out with
this. Yeah, yeah, okay. Fasting as used in the Bible means, quote, not to eat, or, quote, self-denial. In the Old Testament, the word fast is derived from the Hebrew term TSOM, which refers to the practice of self-denial. In the New Testament, the Greek word is nestia, which also refers to self-denial. A summary of the biblical teaching on fasting reveals it to be choosing not to partake of food, because spiritual hunger is so deep, determination in intercession is so intense, or spiritual warfare is so demanding that you temporarily set aside even fleshly needs to give yourself more wholly to prayer. A normal fast involves fasting from all food, but not from water. Matthew 4:2. An absolute fast is very rare and involves abstaining from food and water in the face of extreme spiritual emergency. There's a lot of scriptures listed there. Because the body needs fluids to survive, one would need to be very sure of the leading of God to undertake such a fast for any period longer than 3 days. A partial fast is the restriction of one's diet as opposed to complete abstention, Daniel 10:3. Fasting may also include skipping a meal consistently or abstaining from certain foods or other activities. Many of us would benefit from a media fast from television, movies, and the internet. Typically, biblical fasting went for one complete 24-hour period, usually from sundown to sundown. That's true. As we previously mentioned, the early church fasted 2 days every week, Wednesday and Friday. Pharisees fasted Tuesday and Thursday. Other biblical fasts went from 3 to 40 days. In the Bible, there are both individual and corporate fasts. Corporate fasts could involve the whole church, like in Acts 13:1 through 4, or even the entire nation, Jonah 3, Esther 4, and 2 Chronicles 20. The early church also practiced fasting for several days prior to Easter. Later, this fast took the form of a series of one-day fasts each week for the weeks leading up to Easter. It was also customary for Christians in the post-apostolic period to fast in preparation for their baptism. Oh, that's all just very interesting.
Very good. Yeah, I've practiced at times. I like a 40-hour fast. I like to kind of push through. And if you start like at 6 in the evening one night, then you go the whole next day and then till noon the following day. Or as they mentioned, sometimes the fast is fasting from social media or other things too. It's not only restricted to just food. But food is a really good one because it's something that we rely on.
Food is hard.
Prayer, The Timeless Secret of High Impact Leaders by Dave Early. We appreciate this book and appreciate if you want to come out on Thursday night, 7 p.m. here at the Great News Media Center. We'll gather for some corporate community prayer, seeking God, worshiping Him, and gathering together in the name of Jesus. You're all invited. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Marianne Simpkins with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you. Have a great day and night.